on this episode of Edge of the Web.
The other thing that I would call out that I still feel like relatively few people know or use is that let's not forget that this data visualization tool was designed by engineers who worked on Google Analytics. And so you can add a Google Analytics tracking code to your Data Studio reports so you can optimize your reports just like you optimize your website.
Your weekly digital marketing trends with industry trend-setting guests. You're listening and watching Edge of the Web. Winners of Best Podcast from the Content Marketing Institute for 2017. Hear and see more at edgeoftheweb.radio.com. Now, alongside Tom Broadbeck, here's your host, Aaron Sparks.
Welcome back to the Edge. Hey, every week we're broadcasting from Edge Media Studios in downtown Indianapolis, Indiana, where we're interviewing marketers from around the planet in the digital marketing space that are doing a bang-up job educating people and really leading as thought leaders in their space. Check out, by the way, hey, check out all the old shows over at edgeoftheweb.radio.com. If you haven't checked them out before, we're talking to a lot of great, like I said, thought leaders, individuals in their space. And there's also a lot of news information that we're covering each and every week. The show is actually sponsored by the title sponsor, Site Strategics, our own company, specializing in the agile marketing, digital marketing space. So if you're interested in what that is and what it means to you, it's an iterative approach towards digital marketing that is results-based, and we are certainly happy to be able to sit down and talk to you for an hour, give you some free advice on your website or your digital marketing tactics, and who knows, you might be able to come away with some tactics right then and there to help in your race to results online. I'm Aaron Sparks, your host. I'm the CEO of Site Strategics. And the reason that we do this show, and we talk about it every week, but it doesn't get old, is we want to make sure that the listeners of our show and the watchers of our show understand that the digital marketing space it's got a lot of different channels in it, and there's a lot of specific areas that are kind of mystifying, to say the least. And we want to unpack these concepts and really kind of bring some understanding to the spaces like search engine optimization, which we know has changed over the last 15 years, radically so. Social media, which is also a huge engagement factor for consumer loyalty. But how do you do the best? How do you get the best results? And how should you be executing your Facebook broadcast or your Twitter engagement? I mean, these are the things that we try to unpack and give our audience some great insights from the guests that we interview on a regular basis. So that's why we do it. And we also do it for our own education, so we can keep our sword sharp, our powder dry, make sure that we're learning as much as you are on the show on a regular basis. To my left is Tom Broadbeck. He's the director of digital media over at Site Strategics.
Hello.
Hello, sir. Tell you what, I usually ask.
I was trying to come up with something funny and witty to say there, but I just blanked, so sorry.
So it was just an L. It was just a hello.
It was just an awkward pause.
Yeah. Well, now it's even more awkward as you're pointing attention
That's
to
what
it.
We do.
That is true. We are not bereft of awkward moments, but we're not going to make that awkward for our guest. Andrew Garberson is on the line.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Very good. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Great. Thanks so much. And I will point out that as a we're data nerds, I think a lot of us at heart. And so awkward pauses are just part of the territory. It's what you get when you get a room full of introverts.
Absolutely. And you start to wonder if they're not awkward pauses, right? Because you don't want those introverts on the other side and starting to wreak havoc on the presenters out there. Is that awkward?
That's right, bury them deep.
Yeah. I saw this T-shirt that I wanted to get. It says, "We're introverts. We're proud. We're here. We're uncomfortable, and we want to go home."
So that's it for the show, everybody. Good night. Well, hey, Andrew, we always want to start off for the show with some trending news topics. Are you game to dive in there?
Let's do it.
All right, let's take you through the latest digital marketing news.
I was very excited to start my reportings.
This week's trending topics.
All right, so we've got some headline news, and we try to get some topical information based on the theme and the information that we're going to be rolling through in the podcast and the live cast here. And by the way, we want to make sure that for all of our iTunes and podcast listeners, there's a live show going on each and every week. So jump over to the Facebook stream, check it out, join us, and you can also comment, and we'll certainly talk to you during the show, ask questions of our guest as well. So as much as we love our listener audience, Jump on over and talk to us, because we're doing it live. Might as well throw some stuff at us real time, right? Make it even more awkward for us. How about that? All right. So from Wersum, WERSM.com.
We are social media.
We are social media. I know. I just wanted to say that. Google Data Studio adds three new features to help users tell more compelling data stories. This is by George Carey Simos, forgive me. So tell us about this. We're talking about Google Data Studio, Tom. Let us know what this story is all about.
So three new features that they announced this week. One's the Explorer feature, and the Explorer feature will allow users to bring data analysis together with one click. So instead of combing through huge amounts of data to find the insights that matter the most.
Tomato, whatever.
Explorer allows users to get insights from their data faster with no coding required. Explorer uses one-click integration with BigQuery and makes the analyst workflow a lot faster.
I dig it.
Data blending feature will allow enterprise businesses to analyze and visualize information from multiple accounts across their organization. Data could be coming from Google Ads and other Google marketing platform products, etc. And then finally, the Google Marketing Platform Report Gallery will allow users to create more comprehensive reports with templates for any of the Google marketing platform products. They can simply choose the template that they have a typo there, T-A-H-T, that suits their purpose and customize it according to their needs.
Very cool. Very cool. Well,
so yeah, some neat reports there. Wanted to get the expert in to talk about these features and how they could impact that tool.
New tools. And so let us know. What are your thoughts about all this?
Yeah, it's exciting. I think it's easy to think of Data Studio as a one-size-fits-all analytics solution, but really it's a visualization tool. Mm-hmm. That's what it does first and foremost. And so this allows us to do more analysis, right? It's a template-based reporting tool. And so you create a template, it's dynamic and really flexible, but it's not great for doing analysis, diving deeper, poking and prodding. And the Explorer feature allows us to dive into a quick canvas and pick through data. And then we can actually, if we see something we like, we can pass that into one of our static reports, which is really handy. Without having to go through and edit the thing that's beautiful, it's been designed, our stakeholders are used to looking at it. Mm-hmm. And so I really am a fan of that Explorer feature. The data blending is one of the beautiful things that's coming to Data Studio this year. It was always the case that you were able to isolate one channel or one variable, one metric, and look at it in a visualization. But it meant that your reports needed to be longer. You needed more pagination to show all of the channels or all of the information. And now we're able to roll that up into one place, which I think is one of our superpowers as marketers, the ability to connect data, to combine it and draw broader conclusions rather than just being channel specific. And so the ability to say, well, let's look at clicks or impressions or conversions, but not just from Facebook or not just from Google Ads. Let's look at it for all advertising platforms. And so now you're able to make some real decisions or empower the marketing teams or impress your boss. Whatever your goal is in life, you're able to do it a bit easier based on the ability to combine similar data.
Excellent. Excellent. And for our users that are our listeners, our watchers who haven't experienced Google Data Studio, we're certainly going to unpack that. But it is a great visualization tool that Google has offered for years. And seeing that they are investing in some new templates, and we talked right before the show, Andrew, about the how bereft Google Data Studio was of functional templates that and gallery items that could be used as almost like a snap-in tool. They're finally starting to unpack and give us a lot more useful, quick insight tools, right?
Yeah, we've seen it come a long way.
Yeah.
But that said, it still has a long way to go. You're seeing a lot of user-generated content, people sharing things right now, especially from the search marketing community and the analytics industry. The old developer mantra, which was, you know, why build something from scratch when you can take something that someone else has already built and then improve upon it? So I would call out the report gallery in Data Studio so that you can go through, see what someone else has done, what either has or has not worked for someone else.
Yep.
And then you can copy that template into your account, connect your own data sources to it, and manipulate it and make it work for you. So why start with a blank canvas when you don't need to?
Absolutely. And we're certainly going to unpack that in the show today. Swinging around to Search Engine Roundtable, an article from Barry Schwartz. Check this out. Google Local Maps follow button is now out. And hey, if you didn't know what it was, then check it out. This is just coming up. A few weeks ago, Google announced a new feature on the Google Maps and Local to follow a specific location or venue. Now, My first question is, follow them where? I mean, it's pretty much a fixed edifice, right? They're not going to move anywhere. Sorry, bad dad joke. The feature now seems to be rolled out, and you can see it searching your favorite place to eat, shop, or whatever. Whenever you click the follow button, Google will then show you events, offers, and other updates in this For You tab that is actually available in the local space. So Ben Fisher actually posted on Twitter a quick snapshot of the follow button. So Tom, we know that there's the death of Google Plus that's out there, right? Mm-hmm. And we also know that Google My Business has had a lot of additional features starting to unpack there. And this is one of the additional features that are really going to connect users to ongoing posts and promotions inside of GMB. So I think Google's finally figured out that the Google My Business is the place for social activity on that local space, right?
Yeah, I'm just trying it on my phone now. I'm not ignoring you, Andrew. I'm trying it on my phone. I pulled up one of my favorites, Long's Bakery, here. Yep. So I'm going to follow them just to see what it does. And that's it, I guess. Oh, there it is. Go to For You.
Mm-hmm.
So just, I don't know. I don't see anything. I don't even see Long's Donuts in there. That's weird. Okay, but no, I mean, I get the point of it. Yeah. It's a favoriting that you can do within Google Maps, and I'm finding myself searching a lot more in Google Maps than I would normally do Google searches within Google. I'm doing it and opening up Google Maps instead,
mm-hmm.
and so I could see how Google Maps can become a different type of search engine for Google. And we always talk about how YouTube's the number two search engine, but I could quickly see how Google Maps can be a number two search engine for Google.
Yeah, I'm just worried about putting too many things in the Google Maps space. But the local place, the local marketing space is absolutely where they've been investing time and real estate into. So, Andrew, have you messed inside the Google My Business area for a while?
Well, yeah, my background's SEO, but and you mentioned how it affects your life, and I would certainly resonate with that. I have an Android phone, and it looks like you have a Chromebook on the desk there. And I would say that the personalized feed on my Android phone has become my new time filler. Where it was Instagram, or it was Twitter, or it was the New York Times. Now I end up going to my personalized feed quite a bit, and
you
do scan through. And so I do think there's an interesting localized aspect to that. Right now, I'm attaching myself to local entities rather than just national entities or stories. But I would say we should not forget that it might be less about you and your experience and more about the ability for advertisers, right? You, by selecting that bakery that you love, are able to get some additional information about the bakery, but you also use that as a clear signal to Google that you are interested in baking and bakeries in Indianapolis and that specific bakery.
Mm-hmm.
And that sounds like an exciting targeting perspective from the advertising game.
Google already knows that about Tom.
They can target me as many donut ads as they want.
Well, and you've been to the ad settings, right? So you do a Google search for ad settings, and you can look at what Google knows about you with the asterisks next to it.
Yep.
And we've all seen that it's a dark place, right? Google thinks it knows things that maybe are untrue, or just were that one time that you did a search for a client. And this allows them to be better at that too. Yep. So I think from a user perspective, more personalized or better personalized ads as a result of this is an exciting
app. Yeah. And the Google News feed, and I forget what was it Google, when you swipe all the way left on your Android phone, whatever that's called, that's become a default news feed for me as well. And the more you can individualize it to you, and I've got in that For You section, I noticed that it already blocked off the certain area that I'm following. So every news article that's associated within that radius box that they drew out on a Google map, there's a section and there's like local news. And so
that's cool.
That's all appearing right there. So that's definitely comes in handy, especially here around the election time, you get all that stuff. But yeah.
Yeah, but that also, it's very important for small businesses, and especially foot traffic businesses, to realize this is an area that's free right now of communication. I mean, they could literally capitalize on, and we've talked about the local SEO targeting for a very long time. We had a great show here just recently regarding local SEO. The most important thing right now is for businesses to get into that GMB yeah. and start really using it for what Google has set up for you. It's a free application. It's a free service for right now, right? Yeah. And being able to put up posts and be able to have that follow button, you're going to see a strong consumer increase there just by churning out some good information.
Yeah. I agree. I concur.
From HubSpot, last article for today from Amanda Zentel-Wiener. How about that? 25% of people think all searches will be done by voice in the next 5 years. So if you watch any commercial break in full, it seems, you're almost guaranteed to see an ad for some sort of voice assistant device. Yep, we absolutely see that all the time. And her article actually goes into seeing what Amazon, Facebook, and Google are all doing, announcing. And in fact, did you catch Verizon has a new smart speaker out as well?
I did not.
Yep. Oh, my gosh. What a late comer to the game. But before the video smart speakers came along, there were voice assistants themselves, like Siri, Alexas, and the Google Assistants of the world that, with a touch of a button or a simple voice command, can answer all the questions. Well, her prediction here is they've actually asked 800 internet users across the U.S., U.K., and Canada, how do you think searches for information online will change within the next 5 years? And about a third of the respondents actually believe while most searches will be done by voice, text searches won't be completely eradicated. They actually believe, and a large percentage here, that voice search is going to be the only way to actually search for content.
Yeah, I mean, I think you get different kinds of content when you search with voice. It's if you're doing research, I guess, you're not really, I don't know. I feel like it'll be not replacing it.
Yep.
It'll be in addition to, we talked about how people are talking about how mobile replaced desktop searches, but it just added to the searches that they're already doing. The desktop searches
didn't following really, there in their lifestyle.
Yeah, the desktop searches didn't really go down. It was just increased their market share, increased their, whatever you want to call it, their market share of the searches that people are doing. So I think this is just another channel for them to take advantage of. I don't really see desktop really searches going down because people go to work and people have computers at work. People are on their phones and they're out and about. And so you could see how mobile searches could change. And then with these in-home voice assistants and the home hub, I saw it's going to be only $100 on Black Friday, Aaron.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Really?
And
again, too late.
But yeah, so I mean, all these devices just growing that market share, in my opinion. But
yeah, I mean, it's matching the it's a visibility growth. It's a utilization growth. Voice is utilized in one space. It's not going to be used for research because you're only having one result, right?
Yeah.
Quick one answer responses are what Alexa is all about, right? But on the voice search to mobile, yeah, it's much more focused towards transactional of where you're looking for the next pizza place or the next donut place, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's about lifestyle and what the use is in that space. It's not going to be replacing. Andrew, what do you think about this?
Well, I have to pause and think about the way that I use them in my house. And mm-hmm. so anytime you hear somebody say all of anything, the data nerd in me says, oh, please, please, that's making me uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But that said, 20% of U.S. adults report that they have a smart speaker in their house. And that's a 25% increase quarter over quarter.
That's amazing. So
we're adopting very quickly. And the statistic that really jumped off the page to me was that 4 out of 10, so 40% of people that have a smart speaker have more than one. And I definitely fall into that category, right? I've got one in my kitchen, I have one in my living room, and I have one in our bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so just so I can listen to pop music. Let's call a spade a spade.
No ask, no tell in that space, man.
But I absolutely agree. We're not talking about a huge shift in the way that people necessarily use media, but I think it's a net new.
Yeah.
When I would have, just not answered that question, I can very easily ask my Google Home what the forecast is going to be tomorrow, or what's the temperature outside when I'm getting the dog ready for a walk. Those are mm-hmm. things where I would have just gone outside and, you know, licked my finger and felt the air, but now I can get that information before I go outside. So really interesting shifts in consumer behavior there. But I also had a quick conversation with somebody the other day to talk about what's the one technology that maybe you've adopted over the last couple of years that if it disappeared tomorrow, you would feel. And smart speakers was one of the things that came up.
Really?
We would feel the absence of that in our life. And I know we certainly would at my house. Yeah.
I know we would, but I wouldn't be missing it. I mean, the kids scream, "Hey, Alexa, play." I mean, every 3 minutes they're shouting at the speaker. In fact, there you go. Yeah, we just triggered Alexa. I would like to have one consistent song playing and not having it interrupted by a 7-year-old that wants to hear something else.
Our house is consistent, baby shark.
Parental controls for you. Yeah. You just need to be able to overpower everything.
Yeah. That's the truth. All right. Well, I'll tell you what you want to have control over? Some great information coming into your inbox each and every week. Sign up for the Edge of the Web newsletter free of charge. And what we're doing there is we're talking about what's happening on the show, the news items just like this, all cullied together, and there's links right there for you to be able to interact each and every week. So, hey, free of charge. We won't do anything with your email except for sending you those digital nuggets of gold. So go over to edgeofthewebradio.com, sign up right there, or you can text to the number 22828, the word, there it is on the screen, the word Edge Talk, and you can start to sign up right there. And again, give us some feedback of how we're doing on the newsletter. So we certainly want to be able to give to our listeners and to our audience exactly what they're looking for. So again, edgeofthewebradio.com/newsletter. Follow all the featured trends over edgeofthewebradio.com. I was about to stop it with that. But right now, let's deep dive with this week's featured guest.
Now it's time for Edge of the Web featured interview with Andrew Garbison, Vice President of Marketing Services at Lunametrics.
Tom, I'll let you make the disclaimer there.
Yeah, so what is it, Tuesday you guys rebranded?
Or Monday, yeah.
Monday rebranded, and I send our voiceover guy the script on Monday, and I didn't notice the brand change in time, and so it's Bounteous, right? Not Lunametrics, so... I apologize.
Well, we want to keep you on your toes, right? You were getting too comfortable in the studio there. So I thought, what would really trip him up?
Let's just rebrand the entire company.
Yeah. So yep. After I saw the rebrand, I shot an email back to him, but he couldn't turn it around in time.
Apparently. No worries. But it's kind of interesting. Okay, so you changed brand completely. So let's introduce our guest to our audience. Andrew is actually the Vice President of Marketing Services over at Bounteous and oversees PPC, CRO, SEO, and SMS. I'm going to translate that for our listening audience. That's pay-per-click, conversion rate optimization, search engine optimization, and search marketing services. Right? No, that's actually SMS. That's actually text. Right? I'm sorry.
I don't know what the SMS stands for, text. What does that stand for? I forget.
Lord, I can't remember. What's it stand for?
Something
it stands for S. SMS. Yeah.
And all of the other fun and acronyms. Hey, he's also the adjunct professor of digital marketing at Chatham University. Very cool. Bounteous actually just rebranded from Lunametrics, and they offer in-person Google marketing platform training across 14 different cities in the U.S. Some great bio there, Andrew. But we always ask our guests, tell us your backstory and how you got into digital marketing.
Yeah, sure. Well, I was actually abroad for a few years, and then I ended up going to grad school, and I thought I really want to get into nonprofit work. But I was moonlighting to pay for grad school as a content mm-hmm. writer, and I don't know if any of you have that in your background anywhere, but you know, you're getting paid 1 or 2 cents, maybe 3 cents a word if you're really lucky. And this was 15 years ago. And I remember this SEO swooped in and said, you know, made a couple of really broad statements and got a huge check at the end. And I thought, I need to figure out what SEO is. And so 15 years ago, I started getting involved in SEO. And I always think of SEO as this beautiful place for people who have a data technical mind, but are also like the softer marketing skills.
Right.
So thinking about intent and the way that people digest information. And so it was this wonderful happy medium of all of the things that I had kind of Frankenstein together over my life. And so I got to be nerdy and analytical, but technical and break things. And then I got to write and do some of the things that I picked up as a journalism student.
Hmm.
So SEO was great. And then that became something of a gateway drug to what is digital marketing these days, right? You get hired for digital marketing, and it seems that anytime something new comes along, it just gets added to your job description. Oh, well, you do digital, right? Mm-hmm. So it gets jumped onto to your job description. And so I've been lucky to be in the right place at the right time. I joined Lunametrics the year that Google announced the Google Analytics Premium, the enterprise analytics solution from Google. And so I was at one of the founding companies there that was an original partner. And so got really heavily into Google Analytics and reporting and visualization. That stemmed into activating that data and advertising. And it's really grown from there. Part of the story is that Lunametrics was strong in the SEO and the SEM and, the analytics space. We've really made a name for ourselves as an analytics company. About a year ago, we were acquired by a company out of Chicago. And then we made another couple strategic acquisitions. And this week came together under one brand, which is exciting. At Lunametrics, we controlled just one tiny piece of the marketing puzzle, right? We would tell you the code to put on your page, the pixel to put on your page.
Right.
But then we relied on our clients to be able to do that. And now, joining with a couple of engineering companies, we're able to influence and help clients through the entire process. So end-to-end marketing. And that's been really exciting, both for me personally, but for us as analysts here in Pittsburgh.
So you're really helping to much further degree implementation of said tracking, but also guidance and feedback on the tool sets that you help implement to be able to interpret that data, right?
Yeah, it's great. And what I love about this company is that it is technology agnostic. For most of my career and for all of Lunametrics' lifespan, we were a Google company. And, mm-hmm. and we still have very deep ties with Google. But one of the wonderful things about coming together as Bounteous is that we get to explore challenges from outside of maybe one technology stack or another to broaden some horizons. So it's been a lot of fun to learn some other solutions and get to use all of the tools in the marketer's tool belt to solve problems.
Oh, that's very cool. Andrew, if you wouldn't mind, if you could indulge me real quick, I got to have the title sponsor jump in here and give a quick advertisement. Hey, Sitestrategies is the proud sponsor of Edge of the Web Radio, and we want to always give our listeners something special. From an offer standpoint, we provide digital marketing strategies on a regular basis, and it goes without saying that you got to look for the return on investment in your digital marketing. If you're not paying attention to that, or if you don't know what our ROI is, hey, why don't you give us a shout, and we can sit down and develop a report for you that shows your return on investment. If you'd like to discover that marketing ROI, we're actually giving a 30% discount on our ROI report, the digital marketing ROI report. Learn all your digital strengths, weaknesses, and threats. Go on over to edgeofthewebradio.com/ROI. Simply give some information to us about who you are, and we'll set up a time to meet and talk about what this report can do for you. And this may be a really good match to be able to give yourself an analysis on your digital marketing performance. We look at SEO, social media audits, paid marketing, conversion analysis, and much more, especially the competitor gap space. So go over there at edgeofthewebradio.com/ROI to check it out. All right. Sorry for the gratuitous plug, Andrew. Had to throw that one in there. All right.
Gordon, you got to keep the lights on.
I'm saying. So, Andrew, you have a specific passion towards Google Data Studio in your travails. You've seen this as a really good application that has been really kind of underutilized by companies and marketers, right?
Yeah, and I'm on the road a lot, and so I do get to check in with marketers as part of our training program quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, this it's been around for a couple of years now, but I've seen, especially over the last 6 or 12 months, marketers are really starting to adopt this tool. And I would say one of the challenges with reporting is that you're either doing reporting in an interface that's pretty structured, like Google Analytics, Or you're using a totally unstructured platform, like you're pulling all the data out of Google Analytics or your advertising tools or your SEO tools, and you're using Excel or you're using Tableau or using one of these that has high barriers to entry. You almost need to be an expert in that tool to be able to do reporting. So one of the things that I think is great for marketers with Data Studio is that it's really easy to use. It's free, so low barriers to entry on both of those. And it just allows you to get the thing that you need rather than you know, going to the car dealership, and when you could drive off the lot with a Camry, you end up buying the Tesla, which I think happens some of the times when you end up with Tableau and you think, oh my gosh, I'm in way over my head here.
Yeah. I don't know if that analogy works. I don't know anybody who's shopping for a Camry ends up with a Tesla. I'm just saying.
It's not me. I drive a Prius. So
yeah, you're absolutely right that there's a lot of rich tools that are out there that give a lot of insight into performance metrics of digital assets that are out there for any company. But it's a huge investment sometimes. And is it everything that they need, or do they need a scaled back version? What are they really looking for, right?
Yeah, and I think the other challenge is that a lot of the solutions out there, the reporting solutions, they force you to optimize for channels or to report on channels rather than reporting or optimizing experiences, right? We, as marketers, have personalization and omni-channel, these words that have been buzzwords in our industry for years. And, you know, our teammates are saying them, our bosses are saying them, our clients are saying them. But then we still go back to our channel-specific reports and make small adjustments to make sure that we're adjusting CPC in the right way. And so I do think some of these solutions allow us to think bigger. They allow us to think broader. And that's a huge opportunity for us to think about the bigger picture. I think the caveat, though, and the thing that should be called out early in this discussion is that Data Studio is not the solution to all of your problems, right? It's an accessible, free data visualization tool.
Right.
That can really take you pretty far. But I have been talking to enterprise marketers recently that are really kind of stretching it to the ends of its abilities, where it's, you know, it's taking 15 or 20 minutes to load, and the cache isn't speeding things up. And I think there are certainly points where we should rely on the enterprise reporting tools that we've grown accustomed to over the years. But this is a great way to get your feet wet, to get started with reporting in a very easy way.
Oh, very cool. Now, can it also connect to third-party tools?
Yeah, and so it natively connects to Google products, right, which is helpful. It is a Google product. It's got the Google logo on it. But through the third-party connectors, they call them community connectors, you can pay essentially a Spotify subscription each month to have access to these third-party community connectors to pull in all of your other media platforms. So everything from Salesforce to Adobe products to Facebook, and they're adding more and more every day. I think the library is up to about 500 platforms.
Oh, wow.
So growing very quickly. And it's worth pointing out that, you know, once you start adding everything a la carte, you might get to the point where you say, I might as well just buy an enterprise reporting solution. But I think for people that are either in a growing company or are trying to broaden their reporting capabilities, this is a great way to buy a la carte and piecemeal. And so you don't have to jump into an annual contract and hundreds of dollars a month. You can pay a couple bucks a month to get everything you need.
Well, excellent. So this is tied to your Google Analytics, or I'm sorry, your Google account that is also tied to your analytics. You have to be on the same account to be able to pull all that data together, right?
Yeah, so you have to connect to the user to get access to the tools. So to build something, you do need to have a connection to that data source. So an example would be a client would share Google Analytics access with me, and I would be able to pull their analytics data into one of my dashboards. Now, if I build it for one of my clients or for one of my bosses, I can then pass controls over to them. So I can add them as a collaborator on the report, and they can manipulate it and make it their own. I think one of the really exciting features, though, is for people that work in large companies or work with large clients, where there's a lot of demand and everybody wants access to all of the tools, and I want to be able to pull my own reports and let me change this. Data Studio is great because we can give people read access, so we don't need to share account access to our advertising platforms or our analytics platforms.
Right.
And we can use a data visualization tool like Data Studio to give people access. We call it data democracy. So we can give people insight into the data or the platforms without completely distributing everything to everybody to the point that you have points of failure or security issues. So I've seen Data Studio be used for some exciting internal opportunities as well.
Really?
To give people access.
But you can control the aperture of information and not so much to remove them from other areas, but keep the focus on what you're really trying to deliver, right? It's still real-time data, but I mean, anybody who goes into analytics that doesn't know what they're looking at, I mean, they're just going to fall off a cliff with all the different channels that you can go through. This kind of hones the information delivery, right?
Yes. So you give someone full access to analytics. One, and you know, we'll knock on wood, but maybe they break something. And two, they get lost and you end up with an inbox full of emails that asks you, what's this and why is that?
Yep.
And so I do think that these reporting tools allow you to focus people on the things that matter most. You know, I've always said in our Google Ads trainings that the hardest, the biggest challenge to using Google Ads is using Google Ads. It's the interface, right? Mm-hmm. And I think to some extent that's true with analytics and other advertising platforms. They're just intimidating.
Yeah.
And so we don't need our executives inside of our advertising platforms. We need to focus their attention on the things that matter most to them, like revenue or budgets. Return on investment. And so what these tools allow us to do, these visualization tools, is to focus people's attention on the things that matter most, which I want to be clear. I don't think that we're trying to hide anything or keep people in the dark, but I think that you're able to focus attention and kind of save people from themselves, right? This is the reason that you hired me, and here is how I'm affecting the metrics that matter most to you.
Absolutely. You have to define what you're wanting to measure. And I mean, too many cooks in the kitchen that aren't disciplined in focusing on certain elements. You can get yourself into unnecessary conversations because of just the amount of data that can be available. So that's what Google Data Studio is really good for, is to be able to focus that message and focus that visualize the data. I mean, I've got one up on my screen right now, which was one of our Data Studio templates using just pulling in Google Analytics and just focusing on the local zip codes that are actually coming in for one of our clients, right? This is a local company, and the visualization is exactly what I want to be able to deliver because they're interested in how we can move into different zip codes and different cities surrounding Indianapolis. And that's, I would say, a perfect use because that's explicitly showing what we're talking about and what from a strategy standpoint, we're trying to change.
Yeah, you're honing in on the KPIs that matter most,
right,
which is a perfect example.
Yep.
I would also point out that I think some of these tools allow us to think beyond dashboards, right? As marketers, we maybe grew up with Google Analytics dashboards where you had your 12 widgets, and we have this desire to pack as much information into our dashboards as we possibly can, right? Mm-hmm. If you give me 12 widgets, I'm going to use 12 widgets and give me all the colors and all of the pie charts, right?
Yep.
And so from a visualization and a kind of a mental processing perspective,
right,
we should be using these tools a bit more creatively to focus on data storytelling and making sure that people can understand the things that matter most. At the end of the day, if people are confused by the reports that we're giving to them, it's probably not on them, it's on us. And so some of these flexible reporting options, whether it is something like a Tableau or you're using a Data Studio, I think can really help you tell better stories as marketers, which will hopefully, right, increase our marketing budgets and give us new opportunities and expand our influence inside of our companies and excite our stakeholders inside of our companies. And the best way to kill excitement is to show a two-tone dashboard to it with 18 pages that nobody ever gets through.
Absolutely. And you know, from a frustration point, giving a chart-ridden analysis document that you spin off of Google Analytics or something like that and expect the client to infer something from that. I mean, what a level of irritation. I mean, honestly, the clients are expecting you to do your job by analyzing, giving them a picture, but never expecting them to have to analyze the results as well.
Yep, exactly. And I would point out that, you know, remember, these are dynamically updated dashboards, right? So if you spent a decent portion of your life or of your job or of your client's money building dashboards every week or every month to do your reports, this is something that puts money back in their pocket or back in your day so that you have more time to devote to other things. A couple of things that I would point out that are either new or unknown with Data Studio. The first is that they recently launched a PDF feature, so you can do some of the emailing of reports that maybe you liked in other reporting tools or in Google Analytics. So we can now download our Data Studio reports as PDFs to email them, which is one of the features that I know the Google team said they heard about most.
Absolutely.
We can finally do that. Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
One of the issues that you run into, and I'll just kind of share this from experience, is that the nice thing with a dynamic report is that everybody's looking it up to the minute information. When you download that, you create a static version, and then you get into what happens when you have versions of documents, right? Mm-hmm. So people are looking at different date ranges, different data that's flowing in. And so we certainly use the PDF version, but love the fact that this is a dynamic tool that people can use in real time. The other thing that I would call out that I still feel like relatively few people know or use is that, let's not forget that this data visualization tool was designed by engineers who worked on Google Analytics. And so you can add a Google Analytics tracking code to your Data Studio reports, so you can optimize your reports just like you optimize your website. So you send out that report to all of the stakeholders at your company, and you see that, well, only 10% of the people that use my report flip to the second page, and 0% flip to the fourth page, not to mention the 15th page.
Huh.
So you can even change the way that you report by using the analytics tracking features that we know and love from Google Analytics. So kind of a fun fact there that I think few people are taking advantage of, but allow us to learn the way that people use our reports too.
Where do you add the analytics feature at?
Yeah, so it's at the report level settings. So when you click out of the individual report, it'll be in the upper right there to select the report level settings, and then scroll all the way to the bottom, and you can drop a tracking code in there.
Very cool.
Yeah, kind of a fun fact.
Had no idea.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. So
it allows you, if you're on that phone call and you're talking to somebody that has obviously not looked at your report, one of the ways that you can say, oh, okay, so I hear you've said that you've seen it. Why don't we go through it together before we have this conversation, right? Give you a little background.
A little bit of accountability there. Yeah. So what tips would you recommend agencies do to their Google Data Studio? Because out of the box, and we were talking about this, there's not that many kind of canned reports as other or report templates as other or more enterprise tool sets have. But there's also a huge gallery out there of contributors. What tips would you give for agencies getting started in this space?
Yeah, a couple of things. I would absolutely take advantage of the report gallery. I always point out that people smarter than me have shared their reports, so why would I build something from scratch?
Mm-hmm.
So jump into the report gallery. When you log into Data Studio, it's in the left nav, and it's one of the primary features. So you can dive in to see what other people have done. I think it's great just to build on what other people have already built, but it also forces you to be a bit more creative. You'll see one of the reports talks about the story of the World Cup. Mm-hmm. And it outlines all of the matches over the World Cup in each round and how companies competed and either won or lost. There's another one that outlines M. Night Shyamalan's career. and so these things will challenge you as a marketer to say, well, I was going to show them three pie charts and a table. I wonder if there's a different way that I could evangelize the marketing or the channels that I'm managing right now. And so I think from a creativity perspective, it's really valuable. So that's kind of the way to get started, is take something that someone else has done and build on top of it. I think from there, though, I would treat your reports like you treat your landing pages, right? We all have best practices. And so remember that this is a templated solution. We can design a reporting dashboard or a reporting canvas for our clients, and mm-hmm. then we can make small adjustments to personalize it for each one of our clients or each one of our stakeholders.
Right.
And I would encourage you to do that. It's very flexible, and we can duplicate our templates and make small adjustments. And so if you are creating one report for all of your stakeholders or all of your clients, mm-hmm. I think it's safe to say that you're probably doing it wrong. So we have been talking about making sure that we're speaking our stakeholders' language, that we're focusing their attention on the things that matter most. Mm-hmm. And so if we're talking to a marketing specialist, I would imagine that we would be using different metrics than we would for a marketing director versus a CMO.
Right.
And maybe it's just reshuffling. So you have pagination, you have pages with Data Studio. So we could just change the order of mm-hmm. our documents. We could hack off pieces of our documents, so only show the executive summary, and add pages for more of the subject matter experts. But we've got total flexibility here. And so if you're creating a one-size-fits-all solution, I believe that's an antiquated approach to reporting. So take some time to think about it and test it just like you would a landing page, and make sure that we're personalizing it to each one of our marketing or advertising or SEO stakeholders.
That's well stated and well said. It just can't be a spinoff, and then you just sit and look at it. You have to look at what's needed for the conversation, right? And on top of that, what's needed, what's the client or the department looking for? It all gets back to understanding your audience and understanding what the initiatives are and what you're trying to track. But the live data factor is fantastic. There's also an accountability factor for that live data. Is that, and if you think about it, and we've all heard tale of marketing agencies reporting just the choice material, just the information that they really want you to have, not the entire scope of, and you know, potentially seeing something that's going wrong. This is accountability. This is live data, and you've got to be willing and ready to be able to answer some tough questions, and you also have to be paying attention, right?
Absolutely. Well, I think it encourages people to pay attention because it's accessible. And so, yeah, we all know the agencies, and maybe some of us are those agencies where, you know, we try to focus clients' attention by only sending them the monthly report or whatever that may be. And I do love that Data Studio challenges some of those notions by giving them complete control to all of their information.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start a campaign or project or whatever our engagement is. We're going to align around the key performance indicators that matter most.
Right.
We're going to visualize those in a report, and we're going to use that as our source of truth. So I'm not going to send you the reports from a different angle this week because our impression base is higher, and I'm not going to send you a different angle the next week because our CPCs look better. We're going to align around the things that matter most, and hopefully, you know, revenue-based metrics or sales-qualified lead-based metrics. And then we're going to make sure that that's the thing that we talk about, and we're putting the data in everyone's hands. So we've all had that boss or that stakeholder that sends the email that, you know, would you show me this or would you show me that, or could you refresh this report for me?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we make everybody's lives better,
yeah.
Our lives as marketers, but also everyone that we're sharing that data with by passing all of that to them.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And then the key point knows how relevant that information is, and it saves a lot of time, but also gets them bought into the process of watching the dials. And that's also something that's always been a challenge mm-hmm. with clients, is that they don't even want to hear sometimes the metrics and the data. Okay, they want to hear about leads and revenue. That's absolutely correct, but we have to have them pay attention to some additional factors that are leading or lagging indicators of issues. And having them tied into an active data space where they can now see things moving in real time, I mean, what a great ability to get them as a stakeholder and paying attention to some of this information regularly.
And I think we've all worked with that person who's a little shiny object, right?
Yep.
They it's a new thing, a new priority every week. You know, this week I'm paying attention to our mm-hmm. CPAs. And next week, I'm focusing on our CPCs. what about impression share the third week, right? Yeah.
I think Tom's actually sitting right next to one of those people that go
ahead. Let's not call it that. This allows you to have, while it is a dynamic dashboard, it allows you to have static goals.
Yep. Right? So
let's align from the beginning around the things that matter most. But every week, I don't want it to be a report that let's chase this shiny object or that shiny object. It'll help you focus attention, even though it's in a dynamic environment.
So there are some basic things to do with Data Studio. You can hook up to AdWords. You can hook up to Google Search Console. You can hook up to analytics. You can also have these 500 providers of data that you can pipe in and get this blended report of different initiatives and different just being able to see the different data points in one fell swoop. What would you recommend, or what are some higher level things that that marketers can actually use Google Data Studio for?
Yeah, I would call out a couple. The first would be the ability to bring in data across platforms, across advertisers. So that's one, if you're a Google Analytics user, that's one of the challenges of using Google Analytics, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe you've designed a cost importing solution, and so you can get some of those advertising metrics inside of Google Analytics, but a lot of us haven't. And so some of these out-of-the-box providers, they connect easily to Data Studio. I know we're big fans of one of the big names out there in Supermetrics. So, you know, for a few bucks a month, we can pull in data from every advertising platform that we influence and can centralize it in one report. So I would encourage you to not think only about the native integrations inside of Data Studio, but let's look at everything else that we can get there. The big thing to call out would be that Data Studio integrates with Google Sheets. So if you can get information into Google Sheets, either manually or through the API,
yep,
then you can visualize that in Data Studio. So that could be any SEO tool you use. It could be your CRM data. It could be your offline sales data, where it was difficult to get that imported to some of our other tools. We can put that all together in one place very easily with Data Studio.
And so Sheets actually acts as a bridge for so many of these platforms. Absolutely. Sorry. Go ahead.
No. Yeah. Spot on. And you know, before we had all of the community connectors, that was the only way to get the information in. So we became wizards with getting that information into Google Sheets, and now it's just a lot easier, right? Your scripts aren't breaking all the time, and it's a lot easier to just pay a couple of bucks to get that information from someplace else. I would call out one of the other new features that was mentioned in the article, and I know we talked about briefly at the top of the show, which was data blending and the ability to combine information that at least has one common characteristic, right? One common denominator. So let's look at all of our advertising conversions across platforms organized by date. And it allows us to get out of what I think can be kind of a myopic approach as channel managers, where we only worry about the channel that maybe our name is tied to, and think about how it influences the company from a bigger picture. And so this data blending, while it sounds really, really nerdy, right, is really quite powerful. And it's something that I think marketers are just starting to scratch the surface with.
And honestly, that's the convergence of a lot. You have to have that type of space where you can see all the different initiatives and their respective feeds into one. So, I mean, like you said, if you're marketing in advertising, and you're moving into paid space, you've got a lot of different spaces in which you're running particular ads, and they don't play well together. You have to look at the different channels, regularly speaking, in analytics. This actually brings them all to the race, and you can actually look at each and every one and how they're performing against each other, right? It's just a useful tool that makes so much sense.
Absolutely. And I would be curious. I know that your Data Studio users, at least for some of your work, in Indianapolis, are you pulling in information from any other tools or integrating with Sheets, or have you found any opportunities that are worth calling out?
I think Sheets are the best example, because we can spit out DA scores and be able to pull them in to as a digital or a domain authority rise. You can also see the SEO right next to each other, so you can see the organic, and it's It's yeah, exactly. It's a great representation of we got this in place. We've been able to build this authority, and guess what? Right, directly associated to it is organic value. So. We haven't done deep dives into that space, but we certainly do recognize the opportunities. Sometimes, you know, you got to force those opportunities into place because you can get a bit complacent in the tool sets that you use on a regular basis. And you've got to be able to paint a better picture sometimes than just the reporting tools that you've been used to, because you get kind of myopic, don't you?
It's easy to fall into those habits, right? And I think especially for digital marketers where the world changes so quickly, right? I'll even, you know, if I take a vacation and I try to disconnect for a week, the first thing I have to do when I come back is say, what happened, right? Mm-hmm. What did Google do? What did Bing do? What announcements have been made?
Sure.
So our world changes so quickly in digital marketing that I think in other places in our lives, we try to not change. So we focus on occasionally antiquated approaches of doing things, of sharing information, of connecting information. And that's not our fault, right? We're just trying to keep up with everything else. But some of these new tools have really made things a lot easier. And so one of the things that our marketing director says at Bounteous is if you do something more than once, and especially if you do it more than twice, then there's probably a way to start to automate that.
There it is.
Some of these tools just make life so much easier. It was not long ago, especially for some of our SEO clients, that I remember 20% of projects going to reporting and analysis easily, right? Because we were doing so much offline data manipulation and bringing it into Excel or using SharePoint or whatever we were doing. And so now we're able to take that time and put it back into the things that are more valuable, which are analysis and development work and the things that actually move the needle rather than just the things that help us talk about how we moved the needle.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. And an unanticipated result of that level of automation is you're going to have some marketers that have staked 15 hours of their week grinding through data that all of a sudden they got to be more productive.
Imagine if you had that back.
Yeah, I know.
All of the extra Netflix shows you could watch, right? There's so much life out there you could do with those 15 hours.
You could go out and take a breath of fresh air. See, there's the sun. Andrew, it's been a pleasure exploring Google Data Studio. We're certainly going to put some links out there and on our show notes and reference a number of the gallery and the contributors into that space. We usually wrap up our show asking a couple quick questions of our guests. Can you tell us what bugs you about your industry right now?
Yeah, well, I think the big thing that bugs me is that we're spending a lot of time focusing on channel solutions rather than bigger, broader picture solutions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an old habit, right? It's even come up a few times as we've been talking today. It was not long ago, especially on the SEO side, where you had one tool that focused on domain authority, you had another that focused on links, you had another that focused on traffic. And it was easy to kind of live in that world where you had the blinders on both sides. And so I think those walls are starting to break down, those silos. Tools like Data Studio are obviously helping. That was one of the big motivators for us at Bounteous to bring these companies together. We wanted opportunities to think a little bigger about helping data flow between teams, between platforms. And so I would just encourage everyone to take a second to think about how you can do that, either at your company or your clients. What can I do to break down a silo, to connect data across a product, to share information with somebody else who might have been in the dark before? Like I said, it's one of our superpowers, and it's more important than ever in digital marketing.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. Well said. Well said. Well, conversely, what excites you about your industry, briefly?
Yeah, great. I am really excited in some of the things that are happening with product integrations, not surprisingly, right? So we work a lot with the Google Marketing Platform and a lot of really exciting things there. So now able to share audiences into Google Optimize to do testing and personalization, and those audiences will flow into analytics for reporting, and they'll flow into Data Studio, and they'll flow into our advertising platforms. And like, that's the thing that gets me out of bed in the morning, because now we're able to create more personalized experiences across all of our platforms.
Got it. Lovely. All right.
I got to ask, it's been bugging me the whole show.
Yes, sir.
What's behind your shoulder?
Well, this week it's out of date. So it's called the Lunateers. And it was something when we moved into this office 5 years ago, we thought the superheroes that would influence our industry in the future. And so we've got a data scientist and a data miner and a predictive analytics wizard and a machine learner. And it's funny, a lot of those are consistent and we've seen them play huge roles. But now I see we have some branding changes to make in my office here.
Got it. I wasn't sure if it was like a band or like the LinkedIn Park type of the Lunateers.
Yeah.
Not yet. And it's not trademarked, so somebody can take it if they want.
You never know the repercussions of a change of brand, man.
It's true. We're learning every day.
Yeah. Well, Andrew, we certainly appreciate your time today. We certainly recommend our audience go check out Bounteous. Obviously, you're going through that rebrand, but congrats. I mean, there's a lot of SEO factors that also kind of play into this as well, right?
Yep, merging four websites into one. You know, I set a background in SEO, and I've got a lot of new gray hair this week.
Yeah, so. I bet. Going through it. Yep. 301, baby, 301.
That's right. Always and forever.
Yep. Well, thank you so much for your time today. We want to make sure our listeners track you down on social. So that's G. Arbison on LinkedIn. It's G. Arbison as well. And we certainly want to recommend them going to Bounteous. Thanks so much for your time. And we're certainly going to grab a hold of some of those Data Studio reports and blend that data together, right?
Looking forward to it. Thanks for having me, guys.
More than welcome. More than welcome. United. All right. Well, thanks to listening to Edge of the Web Radio. Special thank you to the colleagues over at Site Strategics and our guest as well. Check out all the must-see information over at edgeofthewebradio.com. That's edgeofthewebradio.com. Tom, who are we talking to next week?
Cindy Crum. We're doing a Tuesday show. She couldn't do Thursday, so we're doing a show on Tuesday.
Sure.
Next week. I don't know if you saw that on the calendar.
I did.
Show's Tuesday next week. Cindy Crum, Progressive Web Apps, and Mobile First Indexing.
Oh, very cool. Mobile First. Very cool. That's awesome. All right. So for all of us over at Site Strategics, thanks for watching and listening. And remember, do not be a piece of cyber driftwood. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.